tried him, and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell just what Jesus really means to me.
For he's
more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams.
More wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. You loving this evening?
Yes.
Amen. We sure do appreciate him, and we appreciate you all having us back. We just want to kind of continue on the thought we was going on this morning about God's character. I don't think I could ever quit talking about becoming the victory of Jesus Christ. That's just something that you just got to shut down and pick back up some other time. But we want to go on kind of a different angle tonight on God's character. We want to talk on God's character part two, but creating an atmosphere of love. Amen. The atmosphere that we create, Brother Brandon said, is how our associates know us by. Did you know that? The atmosphere that we create is how our associates know us by.
That's right.
Amen. Kind of pick it up where we left off. In 1963, identification, Brother Brandon said, and when he had seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself in the man, Christ. As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God, he says. See?
Yes.
His own character molded that kind of a person.
Amen.
Right. Oh, no one could ever do that, he said, but God. This was done so that he could pay the penalty of the fall of his creation. See? In Webster's Dictionary, we went through it this morning, but just to refresh a little bit, the definition of a character means the way someone thinks, feels, and behaves, someone's personality. A set of qualities that are shared by many people in a group or country. A set of qualities that make a place or thing different from other places or things. And I left off this one this morning, and I wanted to pick it up tonight. This is the best definition I think there is of a character. It says, a conventionalized graphic device placed on or in an object as an identification of ownership, origin, or relationship. Something that God places within a person to show where we come from, where we're at, and where we're going.
Amen.
1 John 4 real quick. Start at verse 7. Just read a few scriptures. We won't be too long tonight. I know we're having the Lord's Supper and foot washing, and we appreciate Brother Tony asking us to come preach the service for that. We sure do. A special place in our heart for y'all folks. I'm sure you do that. 1 John 4 and 7. John the Revelator says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and has sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Jump down to verse 17 real quick. Herein is our love perfected, or herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth, is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
That's the only way we can love him. If God doesn't love you first, you can never love God.
Amen.
If God has never called you, you can never come to God. Amen. Let's pray our hearts this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity once again to come worship and praise in your name, dear Lord, and gather. No doubt, dear Father, we believe that maybe these days might be numbered, dear Lord, that we have the opportunity to do this, dear Lord. And we just want to take full advantage of it while we have it, dear Father. We just want to say thank you, dear Lord, for everything you have done for us. And we just ask that you'll take over preeminence in my body once again, dear Lord, and speak to your bride tonight, Father. Let something be said that'll glorify you, dear Father, we pray. We love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory and honor, dear Lord, in your precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Creating an atmosphere of love. You know, Brother Brandon mentions many times about just, you ever get around somebody and just like being around them, you don't know why. Yeah. They might be a different race, a different culture. They might not even speak English, but there's something emanating out of that person that you just like to be in that atmosphere. That and there's other people, they might even be claimed Christians and might even be claimed your brother or your sister, but for some reason you just don't like being around them. There's just something about that person you're just, I can't stand. There's something that emanates out of them as well that you just can't stand. And it opposes what's in you is what it is. Two different contracting spirits. Amen.
Right. Right.
Brother Branham said that love is the most powerful force on earth.
Yes.
The world needs today, what the world needs today more than anything is true divine love. A godly love. An agape love. A true display of godly love, not some kind of a put on. You know, people can pick up when you're putting on.
That's right.
People can pick up when you're not, like Brother Daniel gave me the compliment, and I appreciate that, and I try to be as much of me as I can. I don't want to be somebody else. I don't want to try to impersonate or preach or sing or talk or do my mannerisms like somebody else. I got to be myself. And that's what I like about other people, even Brother Daniel and Brother Tony. They're just their self. I like somebody who's sincere and honest, yeah. You know, genuine.
Amen.
I don't like, you can pick up on somebody when they're putting on, when they're trying to do something like somebody else. You know, Brother Brandon said, a lot of times what we do is we catch one another's spirits instead of catching the Holy Spirit. So a man can catch another man's spirit. He might preach like that man, talk like that man, sing like that other person or whatever, but all they're doing is catching that person's spirit instead of the Holy Spirit, and we don't want that.
Right.
We want to catch the spirit of love tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Branham said in Divine Love, just to kind of lay a foundation of where we're going with this, he said, we got love, but what we need is the abundance of love. The overflowing of love. You say, well, I love sinners. But oh, brother, sister, do you love them enough, well, to go out and talk to them? And woo them to Christ, he says? See what I mean? You say, I love the Lord, but can you trust Him when the doctor shakes his head no? Can you trust Him when everything else is gone? You need an overflowing baptism of love. Divine love, he says.
Yeah.
When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love Him? How many's been in that situation?
Yeah.
How many's been in the burning the midnight oil, so to speak, up till wee hours, 6 o'clock in the morning, haven't slept a week on your knees hurt, your eyes are almost swollen because you've been crying all night, and then you still don't see what you've been praying for?
Right.
Do we still love God after that?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the question. That's what He's asking. When it seems like when you pray and your prayer is not answered, do you still love Him? Is there something that keeps purging you on? That's God's sovereign grace has to take over, he says. It's got to. It's God's nature. God can't do nothing else but that. It has to be that way.
Amen.
That's the only way God works, is what he's saying. It's through divine love. And not some great, just what we would call a touchy-feely, emotional type love all the time.
Right.
Because that's not an agape love.
Right.
That's an filial love, and we'll get to that here in 1 second. Well, why does the world need love more than anything? Because Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 24, because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold in the last days. That's the days we're living in. Amen. Because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity's everywhere. Sin, trespasses, transgressions is all throughout the land. The love of many shall wax cold. You can't have God and you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't have a sinful nature but yet project a display of love to the world.
Right.
You got to have one or the other.
Right.
Like I said just a second ago, there's two different kinds of love in the scriptures. There's a filial love. We have a filial love. Filial refers to brotherly love and is most often exhibited in a close friendship. Best friends will display this generous and affectionate love for each other as each seeks to make the other happy.
Right.
So a filial love is I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine.
Right.
A filial love is trying to make somebody else happy. That's a filial love. It's an emotional type human love that just comes natural to us because we're humans. Amen?
Right.
Best friends will display this generous and affectionate love for each other as each seeks to make the other happy. The scriptural account of David and Jonathan is an excellent illustration of filial love. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, the scripture says. And he loved him as himself. But that's what a filial love is talking about. He loved him as himself. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. You can go read the story in 1 Samuel 18.
Yeah.
A filial love. It's a powerful love.
Yeah.
A filial love is a strong but powerful love that we can have and we can display to people. But it's also a deceiving love. Because sometimes we think we're projecting the right kind of love towards something when we're not. Since a filial love involves feelings of warmth and affection towards another person, we do not have a filial love towards our enemies. That's why it's deceiving. It's impossible for us to love within ourselves our enemies. Can't do it. We do not have a filial love towards our enemy. However, God commands us to have agape love towards everybody. This includes those whose personalities clash with ours, those who hurt us and treat us badly, and even those who are hostile towards our faith. We still got to display an agape love. Not a filial love, but an agape love. In time, though, as we follow God's example of agape love for our enemies, we may even begin to experience filial love for some of them as we start to see them through God's eyes. This is a little cantation I got off the internet about a filial difference in a filial and agape love. But it's true. If we'll display an agape love over time, we may even starting to have an filial love towards that person as we start to see them through God's eyes. How does God see them? Amen? Maybe that brother didn't mean to do that. Maybe he don't know everything that I know. Maybe it's not altogether his fault. What kind of situation was that man in?
Yep.
Amen? You know, a lot of people, just to use an example real quick, a lot of people think if you commit suicide, you automatically go to hell. Didn't Brother Brandon try to kill himself when his wife and his daughter died? After he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? So there are certain situations that as human beings we can get in, and we might do things not in our right state of mind. Amen? But if we look at that in a judgmental kind of way, we would look at that person, oh, that person doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, that person's not born again. And maybe truly they're not, but look at the whole situation instead of just looking what they've done. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despisefully use you and persecute you. Right. The love he used there is an agape love.
Yes.
It's not a filial love. It's an agape love. Agape speaks of the most powerful, noblest type of love. A sacrificial love. Agape love is more than a feeling. It's an act of the will.
Yeah.
It's more than just an emotional feeling that we have. It's something that it's an actual an act of a will that comes out with that that is manifested through us.
Yeah.
This is the love that God has for his people and that prompted the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, for our sins.
Yes.
Jesus was agape love personified. He was agape love manifested to the world. For God so agape loved the world.
Amen.
That he sent his only son.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus was the love, agape love personified. Christians are to love one another with an agape love. As seen in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. In Luke 10 real quick. Luke the 10th chapter starting at 25th verse. Amen? I know this is real, real super simple. I'll be honest with you. This is super simple, but Brother Brandon said it's the simple things that are going to keep us out of the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
It's not going to be the big revelations. Because we're not missing the big revelations. We're not missing the seven thunders and the seals and the church ages and all these great, wonderful things that God has revealed to us. But when we go around and we visit different churches, and I'm not necessarily meaning here, but as an evangelist, when you get out and travel, you know, people are starting to miss this love a little bit. You start to get into the atmospheres and you're like, whoa, I don't like that atmosphere. Something's different about that person that's different about my spirit. And you get into this atmosphere, whoa, I don't like that. What, they're not projecting this atmosphere of love that we're supposed to be creating.
Right. Right.
Amen?
Yeah. Right.
Luke 10:25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you interpret what is written? And he answered, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself. Why? Because he wasn't showing this kind of a love.
Right.
He was trying to justify, not showing it, not manifesting it.
Right.
Said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down to from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, a priest. And likewise a Levite, the high priest. The tribe of Levi. A Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. They didn't want to have nothing to do with him. But a certain Samaritan, that doesn't even have a promise, not even part of the kingdom of the children of Israel, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, and pouring in the oil and the wine. He gave him a little bit of his Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He showed him who the Holy Spirit is in our day. He led him to the Lord, gave him some wine, the stimulation of the revelation of who Jesus Christ was.
Right.
And set him on his own beast. What is a beast? It's a power. It's a message that went out. He showed him the message and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said to him, take care of him whatsoever thou spendest more. When I come again, I will repay thee. Which of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? This is the answer that Jesus gives this man that tried to tempt him.
Yeah.
He put him on the spot. He said, which of these three? Was it the priest? Was it the high priest, the Levites? Or was it the Samaritan who don't even have the promise?
Yeah.
Which one of these three? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Uh-huh.
Go and do thou likewise. He said it doesn't matter what your birth is. It doesn't matter where you come from. Go out and display this kind of love to whoever we can.
Right.
Amen? Amen? We cannot show a filial love. I got a filial love towards my wife, but I can't prove it to you. He said, well, you can put your arm around her, you can give her a hug, this, that, and other. That's true, but I can do that with any other human being. So I can't manifest an filial love to show that I truly love my wife, which I know I do. I believe in my heart that I project a love to her, but that can't be manifested. That can't be proven, because I can do that with anybody. We can't prove an filial love. But agape love is a love manifested. That's a love that God has proven to us. Amen? That's a love that God proves to the world, that manifests through a Christian, a son or daughter of God. Amen? That's the kind of love that, like I said earlier, you can't put that on. It's got to be a love that's already inside of you that gets produced and manifested out to the world. It's not something that you can just work up. Take the story of the Brandon told of the bull. Remember when he's crossing the field, he comes to the bull, already killed, what, 1, 2, 3 men, something like that, brother. I can't remember how many men the bull killed, but he'd already killed at least one man that I know of. Brother Brandon, he said he walked out to the field. He said he seen that bull stand up underneath the tree. He said it was coming. He said he knew it was coming. This is the own prophet's word. He said, I sit there and thought, this is it. I'm going to die. He said, I look back. I didn't have my gun. I couldn't have made it to the fence by the time he made it to me. He said, this is it. He's going to gore me to death. I'm finished. He said, all of a sudden, something come over him. He didn't have time to pray. He didn't have time to build it up. He didn't have time. Hold on, bull. Let me go take a fast real quick. No, it was something that was already inside of him that was projected out to that bull. Something that when the calling come forward, God raised up a standard to meet it. That's how God does us in our lives. Whatever you're fighting, whether it be oppression or an anxiety or just can't, a financial, healing or whatever you have need of, God will raise that standard up to meet it if it's already inside of us.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about God's character too. That's the whole theme of the two services today, God's character. So we found out this morning, God's character is victory. Having the victory, the overcoming power of God.
Yeah.
But God's character is also love.
Yeah.
An agape love. A love that, let me put it to you like this. A love that changes lives.
Yeah.
A love that when you come in contact with, you're not the same anymore.
Right.
And a love that'll strip you of all the world and the worldly things. It'll fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then that God can project out of that love to the world.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And agape love. Didn't Jesus say that greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother?
Right.
Greater love hath no man. Greater agape love hath no man than God can manifest through that person that he would lay down his very life.
Yeah.
What is it? A love manifested. A characteristic of God that is manifested through a human being. Satan can't do that. He cannot. He can't lay down his life for another. He's too selfish. He's too prideful. There's too much that inside him that wouldn't let him lay down his life for another person. Especially somebody he didn't even know. But agape love will. And you can't impersonate that kind of love. It's got to be a genuine, come out of you, be manifested through you kind of love. Amen? People can spot that right away.
Amen.
I'll put it to you like this. An agape love, it actually becomes an instinct to a son or daughter of God. An instinct. As something like the story with the bull. It also happened with Brother Brandon when he was mowing his lawn. He came into this hornet's nest. And he bumped the hornet's nest and they started swarming all around him. And he said, I thought I was done. They were going to sting me to death. But all of a sudden, something happened, he said.
Yeah.
What happened? That love that was inside of him started being made manifest out to the world. God was raising up a standard to that.
Yeah.
God was raising up a standard to calm them bees.
Yeah.
Hornets. We're not talking about defeating something, these great big powers. We're talking about a bull.
Yeah.
We're talking about a love that'll be, if it's manifested to a bee, look what it does.
Yeah.
To a wild beast, a bull, look what it does. Imagine what it would do if we do it to one another. Imagine the souls that we could win to the kingdom if we can display the right kind of love to somebody else.
Yeah.
Remember when Brother Brandon, he went into that cafe? And he said, while I walked in, I looked over, he saw that woman sitting on another man's lap. I think she was drinking and smoking or something like that, her hair cut off, wearing shorts. And he said, God, why don't you just destroy this place right now? Something told me, he said, come outside. So he went outside and went around the corner of the cafe that he was in. And he said, all of a sudden I had a vision. I seen the world with the blood ring around it.
Yeah.
And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I'd see Jesus reaching to his side. And it hurt him. And he reached up and wrote pardon over there. And I looked to see what made him do it. And he said, it was my sins.
Right.
It wasn't that woman's sins. He said, it was my sins that made him do that. What happened? He had the wrong kind of attitude towards that woman. He had the wrong kind of temperament towards her. After that, he went back inside. He got the right mental attitude. Remember, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise will bring it to pass.
Right.
Amen? He had the right mental attitude towards that woman. He said, I went back in there, and he led her to the Lord. Right there in that cafe when she received the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
See how much difference a right attitude will take towards people?
Yes, sir.
Just the right attitude. That was that woman's difference between life and death.
Yep.
That was her difference between heaven and hell. was a simple attitude. He controlled it all. He's the one that made the decision to change his attitude, and he went back in there and led her to eternal life. Shouldn't we do the same, brother? Shouldn't that be the kind of love that we project to people? Where people want to be in our atmosphere. People want what we got. We got to have it first, so. Amen? It's an instinct. Instinct, something that just instinctively comes out of you. You don't even think about it. Just something that comes out. Amen. Brother Branham told us, love conquers all. Love conquers everything. Do you know that, brother? I know you do. Yeah. Love conquers everything. Love, God's love. Love is the most powerful thing in the world, he said. It conquers anything. It's love. By this you shall conquer, by love divine, loving one another, loving the cause of God, loving Christ, loving suffering humanity. He says, that's how we conquer. By loving one another. How are we going to conquer this devil? How are we going to conquer this? By projecting love to it. Hatred and devils and death and everything has to flee in the presence of love. It can't stand in the presence of God. He said, hear a little, I want you to hear it. There's only one thing that'll conquer the devil, he says. That's pure divine love. Love will conquer everything. God so loved the world, they conquered the sin question. They conquered the sickness question. It'll conquer the difference in the church, he says. It'll conquer everything. There is unrighteous to be conquered. It'll do it if you'll just let it. If we'll just let it be displayed through us, it'll conquer it all. Amen. Not something that we work out. Not something, oh, I'm going to so love you. Oh, I'm going to try to love you. Ugh. Never happened. Right. Never happened. You're working it up then. You just got to let go and let God.
Amen.
Amen. One more he said about. He said, I'm going to tell you, my brother, and don't make any difference how emotional you try to be. That's good. Anything without emotion is dead. You can scientifically prove that. So if your religion ain't got a little emotion about it, you better bury it. Get some that's got emotion. But look, brother, the main thing, if all of your emotions isn't sealed by divine Holy Spirit love, it won't do you any good. All you're screaming and shouting and hollering and speaking in tongues, whatever we do, it ain't going to do us no good if we ain't got the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Yeah.
It won't do you any good.
Right.
You know how I've had success in this? He said, one thing I contributed to is love. What he's talking about is ministry. Praying for people, praying for the sick. What was the success of his ministry? It was divine love. People, I've heard testimony after testimony. They said they'd get up and they'd get right there and they could feel the presence. They could feel it right away when they were getting on the platform, fixing to walk across. They could feel something. You could hear him on tape even. He'll say, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't worry. That's just the Lord. Don't be worried about that. Tell me that ain't powerful. It's the most powerful force there is love. And it's the little things that we're looking. It's the little things that we're looking over sometimes. I'm afraid it's the simple things. It's like loving one another, treating each other right, and being kind. God, how do myself, how many times do I fail the Lord in the head? You know, brother? Golly, let me have a heart of love.
Yes.
To where whoever I come in contact with, they want some of what I got. That's my goal. That's my life's desire. That's my heart's desire. Everybody that comes in contact with me will want what I have. Brother Branham said, when divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes its place then. When divine love is put on display, then God can come through with grace and lift up a standard to it. Amen?
Amen.
And whatever that person has need of, then that's what they'll receive. Divine love. Amen. Sorry, I got to grab one. I know it's simple. I know it ain't nothing deep, but I believe it's necessary. I really do. I believe it's the simple things that are going to keep us out. Proverbs 10 tells us, 10 and 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. All sins. Oh God, how many times have I heard preachers in this message say, preachers, I'm so sick of my son, I'm done with him. I'm done with him. That'll lead him to Christ.
Yeah.
Won't talk to him. Well, all he wants to do is borrow money off me. You can still love him. We can still love them in the right way. We can still try to create an atmosphere for that person to want to come in contact with.
Amen.
Amen? I was at a restaurant one time. It's been a while back. As a restaurant, we had a minister come through and preach for us. And on that Saturday before, we was at the restaurant, just me and him. It was just me and him eating. And we was at Chili's, and we got the ticket. It was like, I think $19 and something cents. So I gave the man a 20, and he went back to take it. And this minister pulled out $2 and put it on the table for a tip. And I looked at my wallet, and I had 3 more runs there. So I picked them out and put them on the table. He said, "Brother, you don't need to leave that." I said, "No, I'll leave that. That's a $5 tip. That ain't nothing." He was a good waiter. He said, "No, you don't need to leave that. I left 2. That was enough." He was gay. And the waiter, you could tell, was a homosexual. But because the man was a homosexual, we're not going to tip him for doing a service for us? That's the kind of love we're creating as a minister of this message that God has sent to us in this end time? That's what we're going to produce for the people out there? We're going to imagine that. I can imagine how that waiter felt the whole time we're sitting there eating. He comes into that negativity the whole time he comes to our table. Did he feel something? "Oh, what do you guys have? You guys have something I have need of." No. Didn't he ever ask that one time? A minister in this message. Because the man was a homosexual. He said, "I got a tip for him. Get right with Christ or you go to hell." I said, "Brother, that's all we're producing for God. What are we producing, Brother Daniel?
Come on, brother.
We're producing a bunch of people. I know the church age book. You don't have love. I know the sales book. We don't have love."
Right.
Ain't going to make it.
That's right, man.
Ain't going to make it, friend. You go work. If you're relying on that, that's your works.
Uh-huh.
That's works.
That's right.
And I'll tell you something. You really don't have a revelation of it. You got it up here. But you ain't had a revelation of it because Brother Branham said it takes the Holy Spirit to give you the revelation.
Amen.
So I don't care what you say. Yeah. If you ain't got that divine love manifesting, and I understand we can make mistakes. We're human beings. I understand that 110%. Trust me.
Right.
But we're supposed to have this on display.
Amen.
All the time. Even when Satan gets the best of us. Amen? Hate is the opposite of love. Satan. The devil, the enemy. The prophet said that hatred begins and will end. But love is eternal. Love is eternal. Why? Because it's a characteristic of God. It's something that's a part of God. Remember what the characteristic is? It's a set of things that a certain group of people have. It's something that God puts inside of somebody else as an identification of who that person is, their origin, and where they come from. The character of God. Now we know that Satan cannot create, the prophet told us. But he can pervert. So how does he get an atmosphere to dwell in? Satan. By us. Because we're the ones, they're the amateur creators. We're the ones that create the atmosphere. Satan can't create an atmosphere. But Satan can get us in a bad mood. Satan can get us where we're fighting with our wife. Satan can get us when our kids run wild and we're just irritable and cranky and tired and I'm just so sick of it. He's got the best of us in.
Right.
Satan can cause all kinds of strife and everything, but we're still supposed to have that divine glove in on the display. We're still supposed to have that manifestation of godly love projected out to the world no matter what.
Right.
Does Satan get us off guard sometimes? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? It's like our brother said this morning. What does it matter? What difference does that make? Well, he'll put you back to something you've done in the past. But what difference does that make? That's under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's in the sea of forgetfulness.
Amen.
Which means he can't remember it anymore. He can't bring it up. Amen?
Amen.
If it's under the sea, it's got to be put in there first.
Yes, sir. That's right.
See, we all have an atmosphere that we choose to create. We all have an atmosphere that we allow ourselves to become a part of. And Brother Branham said, our atmosphere is how our associates know us by.
Yes.
Remember that. Our atmosphere. 1 Corinthians 13, real quick. Paul tells us here. Like I said, I know this is super simple tonight, but it's just something I had on my heart.
Amen.
Is that the karate, is that the kind of bride? Remember when Brother Branham had the vision of the bride? He had that old worldly, he said the old worldly thing going through. He said, God, is that what I built up for you? Is that what I've done? All my hard work, all the things that I've ministered and preached on and everything, is that what we have to present to God? My. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Paul speaking. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. What's he saying? No, I'm a smart man. Paul was a smart man. Paul knew, I can't remember how many languages that Paul knew, but he knew five or six or seven different languages that the man alone knew. But though I speak with men, tongues of men and of angels, though I speak with Holy Ghost tongues and have not charity, that word charity is agape. It stands for agape love. And have not agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yep. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand how many mysteries?
Oh.
And how much knowledge?
Oh,
man. And though I have all faith, so that I could move a mountain and have not charity, he said, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I'm nothing. I can have all the faith. Oh, I got healed, Brother Jason. You got love? Oh, I understand all the message. You got love? I got all the knowledge. Do we got the love? Amen. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, he said, it profiteth me nothing. Like I said earlier, everybody's wanting to die for their religion, but nobody wants to live for it anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to die for it, but nobody's got the love to want to live for it.
Yeah.
A dead Christian doesn't do in the world any good. He says, charity suffereth long. It is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth it not itself. It's not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Notice he used the word her own.
Right.
Is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't go to the school dances and the proms and everything else that the world partakes in. I heard a young person say one time, they were trying to set up a young people's meeting, and they asked the pastor, you pick this certain day, can you pick the weekend after? We got prom that weekend. A message preacher, she asked that too. We don't even believe in going to prom. What are you talking about, sister? A son or daughter of God gets no pleasure out of the things of the world. The music and the dancing and the hugging up on one another. The world, that's worldly things.
That's right.
That's not Christian things.
That's right.
That's not Christian standards.
Yeah.
You get no pleasure. They rejoiceth not of iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Whether it burns, whether it takes our hide off, whether it gives us a scolding, we still rejoice in it.
That's right.
If there's something inside of us, we do.
Right.
It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. And it endureth all things. We can't even have a little bit of patience and long suffering with our own kids sometimes. Like I said, I've heard people say, I'm just sick of them. I'm done. I'm finished with them. I'm glad God never said that to me.
Yes, sir.
The first time I ever heard this message, I was a little kid. And it was many years after that when I received the Holy Ghost. I'm glad God never said, oh, I'm sick of him. I'm done with him. I've turned my back on him. But he suffered with me.
Right.
Year after year. I'd go sit in service and something inside me would well up. And I'd say, oh, God, I know I'm not right with you. I know I'm not right. And I'd turn around and go out the back door the same way I come in. Many time after time after time when I was a young person. Oh, but finally he got a hold of me, brother.
Amen.
Finally he got a hold of me.
Amen.
He never gave up on me. He was long-suffering. He knew what the outcome was going to be. Amen. You say, well, I don't understand my kids. Did you claim them?
Amen.
Do we got faith?
Amen.
We claimed them and we got faith. We believe the word? We believe the message?
Amen.
Okay. Brother Tony, I put this in here because Brother Tony mentioned this morning. So I put this in here. I'm glad it's going this route. Token, 1963. Brother Bram says, believe for safety, then apply it. See? Believe for it. Here is what you want to believe for. See, you want your own safety. You believe for your safety and then apply the token to your whole family.
Right.
See, he didn't say they had to live with you. He just said apply the token to your whole family.
Yep.
See, you say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Oh my gosh. You and the Word becomes one. Then you have the authority to send the Holy Spirit out to them.
That's right. Amen.
You and the Word become one. Amen, he says. See, it works for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father, and she applied it to her mother, and applied it to her brothers and sisters, and got them all in, he said. Got them all in. By what? Claiming them. You apply it. Say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within me. Catch my daughter out there.
Amen.
I'm going to her now. He said, I'm going to her now by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Why? Because we become one.
Yes, sir.
We become one. You can't separate us now. Now I'm going to send myself, Holy Spirit, out to that person.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going out to her now, he says, with your anointing upon me, he'll do it. Amen. So do we still believe? Amen. So why are we so short with our kids all the time? We know what the outcome's going to be. I just read it to you. We believe what God's going to do for him if we claim it.
Yeah.
We know what the outcome's going to be. Just like God knew the outcome of me. Yeah. God knew the outcome of you and you and you and all of us.
Man.
He can suffer with us because he knew the outcome. Can't we do the same with our loved ones? Can't we suffer him a little with them? I know what it looks like. I know what it looks better now. But I claimed you. I claimed you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're coming.
That's right.
And a lot of people say, well, yeah, they'll come, but... well, they probably ain't going to be in a rapture. I'm not claiming. That's not what I claim.
That's right.
I'm claiming rapture. I'm not claiming, oh, they got to go through persecution and give their blood for it, their life for it. I'm claiming rapture.
Amen. Yes.
I don't want my loved ones here to suffer like that.
Amen.
If you're going to think big, I guess, but I'm thinking rapture for them. They're going to make it some way, somehow, because I applied the Holy Spirit to them. And right now, some of their lives are miserable and as upside down as you can get. I say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes we see them and they get down and God will start working on them and then we'll take them right back. Oh, let me go help him up. Oh. Yeah. And God can't do anything.
Yeah.
Got to take his hands back off of them.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
We can't help God, folks. You just got to turn it over to him. That's how we help God, is by turning it over to him.
Yes, sir.
I thought that was beautiful what you said there, Brother Tony. Send the Holy Spirit out to him. That's what a time it is. It's time.
Right.
It's time for this bride to start rising up and start claiming what's rightfully hers.
Yeah.
It's time for this bride to start taking a stand and saying, I'm not going to put up with the nonsense anymore. I'm not going to put up with Satan anymore. I'm not going to put up with the enemy. I'm taking a stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what time we're living in. Ezekiel said there's a time to fight and there's a time to stay still. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. Well, guess what? We're living in the time to fight. We're living in the fighting age. God needs us to fight on into glory. Amen? You see it all over. You go to different churches, Brother Tony, and it just thrills my soul. You hear minister after minister. That's what they're preaching on. It's time. It's time. It's time to start rising up. Rising up. You want to listen on Rising Up? Rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up.
Right.
It's time. It's going home time. It's rapture season. You see it preaching everywhere, Brother Tony, and it just thrills my soul because I know it's getting close. It's getting that much closer when the fivefold ministry starts getting the people in that atmosphere.
Yes,
oh, it is time. Yeah. Oh, it is time. I can start claiming this. I can start claiming my kids. I can start claiming my loved ones. Then we're going to go on into a rapture, friends. Why? Because one day we're going to claim our body change.
Yeah.
One day we're going to claim our new body. The voice is here. What rose Lazarus from the dead, Brother Branham said, was the voice. Where is the final voice of the final age? In the bride. So the voice is here. What's going to raise our loved ones and our the ones that have passed on down throughout the ages? What's going to raise them up? Where's the voice at?
Amen.
Amen. What's going to bring our new body to pass? Where's the voice at? Final voice of the final age is in the bride.
That's right.
Amen? We just got to come to our recognition of who we are. Like we read the quote earlier, when the true church, when the true bride, the true church gets the true revelation of who she is and that she can do the greater works.
Yep.
It's going home, down then.
Amen.
Then you're talking about an invincible army.
Right.
Then you're talking about an army that's rising up.
Right.
Then you're talking about an army that's marching on into glory. Amen? You might say, well, Brother Jason, why is love so important in our day? And that's an easy one. Brother Raymond said the Ephesian church age was a perfect church within themselves. But they had to die so that we could come forward. Amen? The seed had to go to the ground and die before it could sprout forth. The Ephesian church age on the day of Pentecost was a perfect church within themselves. But they had to go into the ground so that we could come forward in this day. Let me ask you this. What was the one odd Jesus Christ had against the Ephesian church age? They left the first love. Show me in the church ages where they ever got that first love back. We're living in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, amen? We're living in the restoration of how many things? All things. We've gotten that first love back, friend. We've gotten that perfection back. We've gotten that agape love that's been lost throughout the church ages. That's what we've been turned back to. That's our possession. That's something we can lay claim to. That perfect love.
Yes.
That first love. That a genuine Holy Ghost filled atmosphere that was created on the day of Pentecost. That's what we can have nowadays. We can get back to that.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about just an emotion either. I'm talking about a true life-changing experience.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what they lost in the first church age. That's what we've been turned back to. Restoration of all things. Amen? So what are you trying to say? I said, I'm trying to say, this bride should not be outloved. There is not a group of people on the face of this earth that should outlove the bride of Jesus Christ. In fact, there is not a group of people on the face of the earth that have the true love, except for the bride of Jesus Christ. We're the only hope the world has, friends. Those people you work next to, you bump elbows to every single day, you're their only hope. The people you hang around with, you go to the gym with, whatever you do, you go to Walmart with, the cashier, all them people you look around, they're living in the Laodicean age. You're the only hope. It's in you.
Yeah.
How are we going? What kind of atmosphere are we going to project to that person? What kind of, are we going to project something where they want to come and be a part of it? Oh God, I hope so.
Right.
Brother Brandon said, beyond the curtain of time, he said, I am more convinced than ever in my life that it will take perfect love to enter that place, he says. There was no jealousy, no tiredness, no sickness, no old age, no death. Only supreme beauty and joy, he says. Whatever you do, lay aside everything until you get perfect love. Get to where you can love everybody, even your enemy. No matter if the plane is rocking, the lightning is flashing, or the guns of the enemy are upon you, these things do not matter. Do not matter, excuse me. Get perfect love, he says. If you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior now, he says. If you have not been baptized in water, be baptized now. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receive it now. Press on in that perfect love, which will take you to that beautiful and joyful place beyond the curtain of time. Perfect love, he says. He said, I'm convinced more than ever that's what it's going to take to enter in there.
Yes.
Why? Paul said, though I can know all the mysteries, though I can have all knowledge, though I can have so much faith, I can physically move that mountain from over here and move it over there. If I don't have love, I ain't got nothing.
Right.
Nothing. God gave us a true believer, a vindication of what love, of what who we are for the world to see. John 13:35, Jesus tells us, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. I said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. All throughout the ages, what's going to be the vindication? Love. If you have love one for another. As the musicians come tonight, I know it wasn't deep. I know it was something simple.
But we're fixing to take the communion here in just a few minutes. Brother Branham said that it's mandatory that you would have the Holy Ghost before you take the Lord's Supper and foot washing. And if there might be just one person here tonight that is maybe they're on the borderline. Maybe you're just, I don't know if I got that love projected out of me all the time, Brother Jason. I don't know if that's the creating, is that the atmosphere on my career? I'm not creating that atmosphere. What's going on? Maybe you've never partaken in that love. Maybe you've never quite experienced it yourself. And if you haven't, you can. We'll tarry with you. Paul said in Corinthians, before you take, well, he said, we'll tarry with you. Don't take it unworthily. We'll tarry with you. We'll pray with you. Whatever you have need of. Just get yourself right first. Like he said earlier, it's a showdown. It's a checking up time. It's a tune-up time. Let's make sure we're walking right. Let's make sure we're walking in the direction we need to go. This is where Judas fell. Brother Branham called Judas a footwash funky. It was the Lord's Supper where he fell off. He couldn't go all the way. Let's make sure we're in the right state of mind. Let's make sure we're where we need to be spiritually wise so we can go all the way tonight. Amen. As you stand with me this afternoon. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Raise one place up. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. How many times do we fail you, dear Lord, a day that we don't project the right kind of love to somebody? Maybe we'll just get a little attitude or a little temperament, or maybe we'll just get a little irritated with somebody and we'll let that Satan come in and get the best of us, dear God. Well, we all live in this flesh. We all know what we're talking about, dear Lord. Oh, Father God, we just ask that you come down and just touch, move upon your people tonight, dear Father. Sweep among this congregation, we pray, Lord, and just let them feel and partake in that little bit of agape love, dear Lord. It covers all sins. It covers all sickness, dear God. If we have need of anything, that agape love, it'll satisfy our needs, dear Lord. Oh, Father God, help us. If there's anybody here that don't know you tonight, dear Father, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll just woo them, dear Father. Just move upon their soul, dear Lord, and bring them to you, dear Lord, that they may know you, dear Father. And maybe some of us, dear Lord, that have known you, dear Lord, maybe we just gotten out of fellowship with you a little bit, dear God. We pray, dear Lord, that you'll bring us back. That little birdie that's sitting on a limb will come back and find us worthy enough to dwell abode in us again, dear Father, we pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you, dear God, so much for everything in our lives, dear Lord. You're so worthy and wonderful to us, dear God. We just ask such a grand thing. Bless these people, dear Lord. We ask you, dear Father, in your precious name, dear God. Amen.
I'll be a
lift up your hands and just sing it as a prayer to him.
Lord,
oh God, you've healed our hearts tonight, dear Father. You've prepared the ground, dear Lord. We just ask that the seed will grow. You put the sunshine and the water on it, dear Lord. Oh, grant it, Father, we pray. Tried and true, dear Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord.
With thanksgiving.
Oh, Father God, oh, be a living, dear Father. Yes, dear Jesus. Yes, dear Father. The sanctuary is a dwelling place. He's prepared the hearts. He's tilled the ground tonight. Are you going to let him come in? Are you going to let him dwell and let him take up a boat and move in? Or are we going to turn him down again? Well, maybe next Sunday, maybe the next meeting, or maybe next week. Don't wait till next week, friend. I've seen so many people in my life that they were with us on Wednesday and Sunday morning that we were burying them. They didn't have time, they couldn't wait till next service. Don't let that be us tonight, dear God.
Oh, Father, just move. Dear Lord, I'm leaving here right now. God, I ain't trying to tarry in the service by any means, dear Lord, but I just plead, dear Father, that you're just moving on somebody's heart, and we just ask that you'll just touch it, dear Father, whatever it is to him, dear Lord. Oh, for you loved us so much, dear Father. Oh, Jesus, just touch him, dear Lord. Friend, whatever you have need of tonight, God's here to satisfy your need. I don't care if it's sickness or if it's sin or whatever it is, friend. He's here to satisfy. He's done it for me many times over. He's done it for almost every person in here. He'll do it for you, I promise. If you'll just let him. Oh, just release it to him right now in the Jesus Christ's name. And he'll come and take up a bone in your heart. You'll be different. You'll be changed. You won't be the same person you are. Oh, Father God. Your prophet told us one time the reason people don't receive the Holy Ghost is because they don't want to. They're ashamed of what it will make them do, dear God. Let us not be ashamed of not, dear Lord, we pray. Oh, Jesus, grant these prayers, God, in your precious holy name.
Several times that the atmosphere that you produce around you is what your associates know you by. And I want to say that in a different way, just for a moment, a couple of ways. The atmosphere that you produce around you is what your children know you by.
That's right, bud.
I want to kind of dig a little bit so you can take that quote, what he said, and use it to the full extent. But the atmosphere that you create around you is what your co-workers at work know you by.
That's right.
And so, divine love is, as we know, we read most of it, the divine love is not a love that does anything for recognition. It doesn't do it to scratch your back so you scratch mine type of thing.
Right.
It doesn't do it for recognition. Divine love will suffer and not look for anything in return.
That's right.
You see, that's the grounds it has to be on before it really works. Right? It won't work unless it gets over on that ground. And so it doesn't do anything. Divine doesn't do anything. It doesn't do itself, play and be itself for political reasons, for politics, or to look good, or to outdo someone else, or something like that, or to try and obtain something that's make it look like it's trying to attain one thing when that's really not what's in its heart. See, so divine love, it's not a political. That's one reason why Facebook is so dangerous, because almost nothing, pretty much nothing that's done on Facebook is in secret. And we all know that real friendships, real relationships, most of that takes place in a very secret manner.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we need to be careful with how we use social media for those things, but close friendships are usually not a public show. And so, that is what we need. We need more divine love. And I appreciate what Brother Jason had to say about it. And I know that's what the Lord has for us. But, you know, he said this morning, he said, well, I know it's not deep and simple. He said the same thing this afternoon. But you know, if you go to the Sermon on the Mount, you just look at the simple things the Lord said there, and you say, well, that's a sermon for kids. But is it really? When he says, turn the other cheek, when they sue you, and you're, you know, for your coat, give them a cloak also, that's not for kids. That's for grown-ups, right? But that's where we are. We're in that hour. So just wanted to add a few comments about communion before we get started. You always wonder how much you should say about the communion service before you go into it. So I'm just going to run down a few things real quick just to remind you of some stuff that I know you probably already know. But the three things that the Lord left us to do, three ordinances, was water baptism, communion, and foot washing. Of course, we'll do communion and foot washing tonight. The word communion means to communicate, right? And so I wrote down a few things that come to mind to say what I wanted to express to you. But to communicate, we all talking back and forth is communication, but you can communicate more than just words. So really communicating is the sharing and giving back and forth to each other, and it can be a lot of things. A lot of times it's our thoughts, but it's also our love and our expressions to one another. And the reason for it, because God has called us to be part of a body. He wants us to all share and be part of that body. And so we do that so that we can experience each other. But I can actually grow from your experiences that you share with me and vice versa. So we share things like thoughts, we share our love, we share our expressions. And that's to communicate. We are communing and giving back and forth things of that are basically who we are. Giving of ourselves and giving of our experiences and receiving from you in your experiences. And so we do that. It just made that way so that we can benefit one from another. My members of my body give to the other members of the body so the other members of the body can benefit. And it's back and forth. The scriptures tell us that. So a lot of times when we get together and we have food and we have drink. And the reason why, I mean, that's just so interwoven with true fellowship or true communion. And I'm trying to bring this all together, what communion really is. Communion, we get together, and it's always around our gathering together to enjoy one another's presence. And there's food present, and there's drink present there. And we bring and supply and interact and exchange with each other these things because we are communing. What are we doing? We're being part of each other, right? And so when we're giving and receiving, we're giving of ourselves and we're receiving of each other. And so we know that's what Brother Graham said, when Christ gives you, he gives you of himself. See, because he is that bread, it's his blood that was spilled and in his body that was broken. And so he's giving you of himself. Why? Because when you come to my house and we give you food, we want to give you something that's needful to you. And so that's what God does. He wants to give you something that was needful. And the most needful thing that he could ever give you, which was the desire of his heart, was to give himself to you that you might experience him and he might experience you in communion. And that's why he instituted communion was that way. And so he gives us himself, and that's his desire. So to discern the Lord's body is to recognize and honor him and his saints and all the right things. We gather around, we have food and drink, and because those are the things that are necessities of life. And so when we are believers and we know that it's the necessity of life to gather and feast on the Word and to have wholesome lifestyles, that's what we share when we come together and we draw from the strength of one another of the life that we live. To be Christians, to live right, to be godly, and to share that. And so we're communing. That's what we do every time we have Fellowship Sunday. We're communing, see? And so, but the Lord wants you to do that. He wants you to do that with Him, and He wants you to do it with each other. And so, when the Scriptures talk about discerning the Lord's body, to discern Him, His body, is discern one another. because you are his body.
That's right.
And so it's to recognize him and his body, and to honor him and his body with all the right things, all the things that are godly, all the things that are correct, and the things that are necessities of life. Right? And what's the necessity of life for us mainly is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
In our life. That's what we get together. We want that to pulsate. And as we've heard the phrase, the Holy Spirit moves from breast to breast, from heart to heart. And that's the glue that holds us all together.
That's right.
That's what makes us the kind of fellowship group that we are. That I can do a little fishing and I can fellowship a little bit, Brother Tim, on that, or Brother Daniel on something else, or but that's not what holds us together.
That's right.
See? Because I'm not that much of a fisherman. Brother Tim would get really tired of me pretty quick. If he just listened for a few minutes, he'd know in about 2 minutes everything I know about fishing. Well, he'd get bored. But Brother Tim's not drawn off of my knowledge of fishing or anything else,
right,
or vice versa. We're not drawing off of one another. What's here is that life of communion back and forth of the Holy Spirit among us. That's what it is. And that's what we celebrate. And that's what this sacrament is symbolic of. And so to recognize his body and to honor him and all the right things, and honor his body and all the right things. And so I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. One's in Romans chapter 12, verse 9. She may have it up there. Starting there. This kind of goes with some of the quotes that Brother Jason used. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is good. Now think about what I just said. We're interacting with each other. Right? So, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business with each other. Obviously, treat one another right. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continually instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Didn't we hear this already tonight? Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lie in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. And so, to me, that's a good description of what a body of believers who are communing together. And so, taking the Lord's Supper is an outward act of an inward experience that you have in the Lord. Brother Branham said this in communion service. He said, you don't take the Lord's Supper by tradition. You take it because it's the love of God in your heart, in the keeping of the commandments of God. See, and that is what you take it for. So if you don't take it in sincerity, just as a tradition, you say, well, our church observes communion every Sunday or once every month or twice a year. And you say, and you go up and say, well, it's my time, and then I take communion. He said, why, it's a stink to God.
That's right.
And it is. He said, it's a stink to God. He said, that's just a tradition. And it's like everything else. You've got to be sincere. God wants the depths of your heart. God wants the depths of your heart. And you remember, the very God that brought you here on this earth is the one you're serving. See, you're doing this because He said so. Because it's His order. Then we want to come up with deepness and sincerity, knowing that by God's grace, we've all been saved. And we love Him, and we feel His presence, and we see it changing our lives. Our whole being is changed. We're different people. We don't live like we used to, and we don't think like we used to. Now, if you can see that moving and working in the midst of your life, you've got something to commune about.
That's right.
Amen? And so that's it. We see we're not the same people we used to. We see the hand of God moving and changing us, and we're thankful for that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so you take those things that God has done for you, and in thankfulness, you come to communion. And so I'll read the scripture, and then we'll go ahead and Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 through 29. And this is actually when Jesus, just so that we read the scriptures. So then as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." That means looking forward to that day.
Amen.
So we want to come with sincerity, knowing that by the grace of God we are all saved. We don't want to look down our nose at somebody else like our brother was talking about a while ago. We need to always remember that we all have been saved by the grace of God. And so I'll ask Brother Daniel, Brother Tim, if they'll come up. Amen. This is symbolic. This is not the Lord's body itself. It's a symbolic of His body. I say that because the Catholic Church wants people to think they're changing into the body. And then we're going to ask Brother Daniel if he will break the bread and pray over it, and Brother Tim, if he'll bless the communion wine.
Father, we come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And we do this as a symbol of your body, Father. And Lord, we want to take your word, Lord, and we want to eat it, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And Father, become the word, Lord. Lord, as the prophet said, we are what we eat, Lord. And Lord, I believe in the spiritual, Father, when we eat this word, Father, we become it, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking you, Father, that you will bless every soul, Lord, that comes through tonight, Lord. And Lord, as we go to this communion table, may it not be a common thing, Lord.
Yes.
But Lord God, may we come fervent, Lord, in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Prepare, Lord Jesus, to, Lord, come with a fervent heart and looking unto you with all of our heart and asking you to make us new, Father. We love you and we ask in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to go through this, Lord Jesus, as you've commanded us, Lord, but we love doing it, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, how this wine represents your blood, Lord Jesus, what you shed for the remission of sins, Lord God. While blood represents death, Lord God, it also represents life to us and victory, Lord Jesus. Lord, when we claim this victory through this act, Lord Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.